Very welcome to another edition of Lauren the Parka here on WLR. Thomas McCarthy here till 7 o'clock. Coming up over the next hour, Pat Sullivan and Kate McGrath will chat about Waterford Ladies Division 1 opener against Armagh on Sunday. Cyril Farrell will preview O'Loughlin Gales vs St Thomas's in the All-Ireland Club Final. And later in the hour, we'll hear about the new Galtier GA car draw. So the Waterford Ladies start their Division 1 campaign with a long journey to Crossmaglen on Sunday to take on Armagh for a 1 o'clock throw-in. And manager Pat Sullivan and defender Kate McGrath are here in our Dungarvan studios to chat about this one. And Pat, how much work have you put in over the winter to get ready for this league opener?
Yeah, we got back together as a group, an extended panel there from early November. A lot of gym work and the S&C side of stuff done before we went back on the field. I suppose the big thing was trying to be injury prevention as well, so we focused mainly on the S&C side of stuff in November and moved on the field in December. In fairness, we're 4 nights a week now collectively and 1 night a week to self on the gym, so a lot of work done. And I think we're in a good place. We're really looking forward to the challenge ahead. Look, it's a new year, a new challenge. But this year, I think we're in a good state. Injury-wise, we're in a good state. We've won knock. That week might come too early for her, but besides that, we've a good clean bill of health as well.
Yeah, who's carrying the knock in the camp at the moment?
Wearing at the moment is carrying a knock on her ankle, just went over in the ankle. It was not even an injury, but an unfortunate one. But hopefully in the next week she'll be back in full action again.
And where are you based now, training-wise, at the moment, Pat?
We're based in Piltown at the moment, and the gym has been done in the Move Gym here in Dungarvan. Very lucky to have the setup in both places we have, and the Move Gym is super. And in Piltown, very lucky because we have the gym there as well, so players that are coming back from a rehab point of view can work in the gym, plus be involved in what's going on from a meeting point of view and any video analysis we can do in the clubhouse. And then obviously with the weather we have this week is a perfect example where we're able to toggle between the Astro and the field as well, because on Tuesday night, unfortunately, it was rock solid, so the Astro was the plan B.
Yeah, Kate, how have you found training in these freezing conditions over the past week or so?
Sure, look, I suppose it's all about preparation, really, and you can really make sure that you're not too cold if you have enough layers on and stuff. But I suppose it's something that you have to practice in. You know, we could go to a match and end up playing a match in those conditions. So I suppose it's good to get a bit of practice in. And look, at this time of year, you could have any kind of weather. It could be rain or snow. And look, you just get on with it. You get your training done, you get back home again.
How have you found the pre-season training that Pat and his management team have put on for you?
Look, it's been a great pre-season, as Pat said. We've kind of come through it now with not many injuries. As you said, Ava picked up just an unfortunate knock, really. But other than that, I suppose we've come through unscathed. It's been great this pre-season. Now, it's, as Pat said, we've based in Move and based in Piltown, and it's, you know, we've a lot of girls training, getting up to speed and stuff, and I suppose we've really put down a good solid base that hopefully will stand to us now in the league.
What goals have you set as a group for 2024, Kate?
I suppose any team, you know, you go out and you want to be a successful team. That's the goal of every team, and I suppose we're no different. You know, other teams might look at us and say we probably, where we ended up last year, and say we don't have ambitions, and I completely disagree with that. I suppose we're an ambitious group of girls. We want to get to the top, and I suppose that's our goal for this year.
Yeah, and how much confidence would you take from the wins you got in the league last year, Kate, against the likes of Mead and Donegal away from home?
Yeah, I suppose they brought great confidence. We started out strong in the league. We'd Cork and Kerry, and they were two very, very tough battles. And then I suppose we moved on to the Mayo and a great game again, and we came out a win there, and that really kind of set us up for it, and we probably just dipped at the end of the league. But I suppose looking at the teams that have kind of been in the top six or eight teams there in the last few years in ladies football, you know, we've played them all and we've put it up to all of them. So I suppose we take confidence from win our own group. We don't take confidence from wins. And I'm going into this year, I'm as confident as I am ever that, you know, we have a team that can compete with any team on any day.
Pat, I'm sure you'll concur with that. And you've brought in some new faces this year, and you actually have four dual stars on board. Annie Fitzgerald, Clodagh Carroll, Mairead O'Brien and Alana McNulty. They're going to be juggling both ladies football and camogie in 2024. How has that arrangement worked so far?
Yeah, look, just to go back on Kate's point. Look, I think you have to look at last year as well for us from the start and say, right, we had a really good league. The two games in the first two of the league, one of them we drew and one of them we lost by a point, and you could have probably three more points would have probably qualified us last year even for a final. That's how close it was. But you look at the bigger picture, we went into the Kerry game in a really good place, lost probably one of our best defenders and probably one of the best defenders in the country in Megan Dunn for 3 minutes into the game. Before that game started, we'd also lost Cara McGuire, our captain. We'd lost Hannah Power, and Laura Mull wasn't available for that stage of the championship. So there are four key players we'd all been on our team. And we went to that game and lost by a couple of points. So the fine margins, won that game, we were in the Munster final, we were seeded in the All-Ireland series, and it's a completely different year. But that's what you face. That's one of the learnings we had last year. We need to strengthen our panel, and we have, and we're very lucky to strengthen depth we have now. And the four guys, our four lads that are coming in from trying to juggle both, I think that's a credit to Annie that she did it last year, did it really, really well. Played in our All-Ireland final last year and really performed well there that day. So that proves that we can do it. It does take a lot of management from both sides, and we've bought into that. And in fairness to Jerry and the lads, they've worked with us as well on that. And we have four really good players that have brought a lot to the squad. They bring, I suppose, presence on the field, and more importantly, the experience they have over the years, and we're delighted to have them. And we've a few new players as well. Overall, I think we've 13 to 14 new in the squad, and every one of them have brought something different. And as Kate said, we're really looking forward to the year ahead, and a lot of good work has been done. So we just need to make sure we hit the ground running.
You've named Kellyanne Hogan from Ballymacarbery as captain for 2024. Pat, what does she bring to this Waterford panel?
Yeah, look, I'm delighted for Kellyanne. Kellyanne is a talented player, and we're very clear to Kellyanne from day one. She's a young player that's going to be the future Waterford football for the next 10 years. So it's a massive opportunity for her. But more importantly, she's going to do her captain's role on the field. She's a super footballer, and she'll lead from the field. And we're very lucky that we have a lot of leaders that can do the work that's required off the field in leadership roles as well. And she'll be easily, obviously, supported by Hannah Power. And Hannah brings massive leadership to it as well. And just brings massive energy to the dressing room and to everything around it. And herself and Kellyanne, I think, are going to be, they'll complement each other on and off the field, and really looking forward to both of them and the roles. And I think it's as important for Hannah as it is for Kellyanne, but I'm delighted for Kellyanne to get the opportunity, and I think she will show that on the field.
Kate, can I bring you back to the very start? When did you first get a call up to the Waterford Ladies Senior Squad?
I suppose I'll have to credit the man beside me for that. I suppose we had Pat as manager all the way up through underage, and when he got the job there at the end of 2014 for the 2015 season, I suppose he put in the call. And to be honest, at the time I was shocked to get it. I suppose I was very young and didn't think that it was something that was going to come so quickly. And I suppose from then, 2015, you know, we had a great year that year in the intermediate, and that kind of set me on the course that I'm still going today. And I suppose it's been a great few years and stuff, and hopefully this will be another great year to add to it.
Which players did you look up to, Kate, when you were starting out?
When I first came on the panel, I suppose in the 2015 year, there was a lot of girls there that had been playing football for Waterford for a lot of years. So we had the likes of Michelle Ryan from Ballymacarbery, Elaine Power from Tremor, Nora Dunphy from Cumber Rangers, and then Michelle McGrath, I suppose, from Ballymacarbery as well. They were kind of the girls that when we came in, they really took us under their wing, and, you know, kind of embedded us in that team in 2015. And I suppose they were their help that first year was probably helped in the success of that team in 2015. And without them being so welcoming in 2015, I know I probably wouldn't have lasted probably very long that year. So that really helped. And look, we had great success at the end of 2015, and that's kind of, we're still trying to build on that success from 2015 in the senior ranks.
What has been the highlight of your time in a Waterford jersey to date?
Oh God, there's a few, I suppose. As I said, 2015 was great to get to Croke Park, I suppose, in your first year playing with your senior team, you know, is something that I probably didn't appreciate at the time. You thought it would come every year. So that was obviously a great highlight to get to go up the Hogan Steps is a highlight for any player playing for the county. I suppose 2019 then as well, the League 2 win was great. It was something that probably we weren't expected to do that year. I suppose Kerry and the team we'll be facing on Sunday, Armagh, were in that division as well. So to get that win in Division 2 and bring Waterford, we'd already brought Waterford to senior status, but bring them back up to Division 1 status was probably something that I will be very proud of, that we achieved that group of players. And I suppose to bring Waterford back to the top division in both league and championship was what any player wants to do, and it will grow, or it has grown and will continue to grow, I suppose, ladies football in Waterford playing at that top division.
I'd say you've nearly worn every jersey, Kate, for Waterford in terms of outfield from 2 to 15. Where would you see your best position on the field?
Oh God, I suppose that's a million dollar question you might have to ask the man beside me. I suppose I can bring a bit of everything to any position I'm asked to. And to be honest, over the years, I've just found that it's, as I said, I have something that I can offer in every position. And whatever position I'm put into, I'll be happy to play. I suppose it's, you want to be on that 1 to 15. And if you're not, then it is when you come in to offer something there. So I suppose, I don't know if I have a favourite position or a best position. I'd say it's yet to be decided or yet to be made.
Yeah, we'll throw that question over to you, Pat. What do you think?
I think it's a credit to Kate that she has. She's versatile to play in any position, and she brings a lot of attacking. Like, it's always hard when you're maybe a forward marking Kate as a back, because she just wants to attack constantly, and that kills forwards. And vice versa, then when she's playing in the forward line, her defensive role is just super. So she's actually killing you twice, because she's going back to defending and she's coming from deep as well with the ball. Her vision is very, very good. And as I said, look, I think it's just a credit to Kate that she's, as she said herself, she's come in since a very young player, coming out of under 16 into an intermediate team in 2015, and has nailed her place from there to now. And every day you go out to pick a team, if Kate's fit, you'll have Kate on that team. That's reality.
Pat, Kate and the rest of her teammates made a big stand last year. Like, all ladies football and Camogie players did sit down protests during last year's championship over player welfare concerns. Where do we stand now as regards expenses for ladies football players?
Yeah, it's still up for debate. I think in the next week or two we're going to know clearly what the expenses is going to be for 2024. Look, last year was a step forward for the players, but look, we're still miles away from where we want to be. We're unfortunately miles away from us being the scenario of having our slot in WIT in a super arena in a high performance area. That's where we want to be and be able to train at a high performance, and we're still not there in that scenario. So you look at across the men's game and the ladies football, as I said, look, the lads are putting in 5 nights a week, 4 collectively. We're very lucky to have the Move gym as a super setup for ours, a high performance gym. But without that and the access to there, we wouldn't be collectively training. This is the first time since I've been involved that we collectively can train together and have the facility to do that. And that's where we need to be getting to. And I look at Kerry now, and they're getting their field in the high performance centre in Kerry for ladies football. So that's the way forward, and that's all we all want, is to move in the right direction. I think we're going there, but I think there's a lot of work to be done. There's definitely a lot of work to be done from the GPA point of view on getting what the girls deserve for just what they're putting in. And it's not a reward, it's nothing, it's just to cover the costs that it covers, and what it costs a player for someone like Kate to work every day of the week and be 5 nights a week on the road as well.
Yeah, like, I know this is an issue we've touched on before, Pat, but just to remind our listeners, like, where are players travelling from for training and for matches?
Yeah, so at the moment we have 2 players in Dublin. We have 10 players based in UCC, and I've taken a decision this year, especially from the cost in college and what the girls will go through themselves, is I get them collectively trained on a Tuesday night in Cork to try to save costs for them. And then we have girls that are in UL, in Mary Eye, and Kate herself travelling from the other side of Carrick as well to work and back here. Like, you're talking on a normal, say from March on, we'd have players from Cork, Dublin, Limerick, and travelling from work, maybe from Carlow as well.
Right.
And
right.
That's 3 nights a week,
yeah,
within the collective night in the gym as well.
Like Kate, like, where are you based at the moment work wise, and how do you find the balance between work and ladies football?
At the moment I'm living in Dungarvan and I'm working just in MSD in Ballydown, so between just outside Carrick and Shore. I suppose the work and work life and football balance is something that you work on over the years. As Pat said, we've a lot of players based all around the country, and that brings its own challenge. I suppose I was one of them a few years ago. I went to college in UCD up in Dublin, and the travelling up and down is something that you do get used to over time, but it does really take a toll on your body. When we commit to play ladies football, we commit to that travel, so I suppose we make that choice. But we're just looking in the next few years, I suppose, just to get a bit more recognition from our association of that travelling that we do, of the time that we put in. It is improving from when I started in 2015 to now. We've seen an improvement in the recognition we get, but I suppose we still have a long way to go. The GPA, I suppose, are a great advocate for us at the moment. Gemma Begley and Tom Parsons and all of them that are working behind the scenes trying to liaise there with the LGFA and the Camogie Association just to bring those minimum standards. I suppose this year we're hopefully going to see the introduction of a player's charter, which is something that the men have had for many, many years. And this is the first year that, you know, we've sat down with the LGFA and Camogie Association to try and get that in place for us ladies and women in sport. And I suppose that will be a minimum standards that all teams will have to meet. And look, it's only a start. I've seen that charter, the draft of it, it's not approved yet. It is, it's not perfect, but it's a start. And look, over the next few years, I'm sure the GPA, the county boards, the LGFA and Camogie Association will continue to build those standards and bring us, I'm not going to say on par with the men's, but as close as we can get to the size of our association. And that's, I suppose, what any player wants. We just want to get the recognition that we, what I think that we deserve for what we do for our sport.
And when you were based up in Dublin, Kate, like how often were you making that trip up and down for training?
So at the start of the year, I suppose we were playing colleges football in Dublin, and when we were under management from, it was Kieran Kern before Pat and then Pat, they were very understanding with that, and Pat is still very understanding with college players that you train with your college during the week and you might come down then at the weekend. But
very
then
good.
Once college football might finish in March, and then it is, you'd be have a midweek night down, you could have two midweek night down depending on what day your match is on. So it could be up and down, you know, 2 to 3 times a week, which I suppose as a student, yeah, it can be very, very challenging. And I suppose you might have a part-time job. To be honest, when I was in college, it was very hard to juggle a part-time job and football and your college work. And I was lucky that I was, you know, was able to do it. But you can see girls all around the country, you know, dropping off from sport at that 18, 19, 20 years of age just because they can't juggle it all. So look, it is tough. It can be done, but I suppose hopefully in the next few years that won't be as much of an issue for our female players.
Pat, finally, when will we leave for Crossmaglen this weekend?
We leave at 12:30 on Saturday. It's about 4.5 hours, almost 5 in the bus between tachograph and stuff and stopping and getting that break. And look, it's weather conditions are not the best at the moment either, so we take that into consideration. And obviously to be there to help make sure the players get their meal, etc., before they retire to bed on the night. We have a venue which is about half an hour away from where we're staying, but we are very conscious that could change with the weather that we're facing at the moment. So look, we're preparing for whatever we face. Looking forward to that, to be honest. It's a trip. Looking into the day, we have to just get on with it, and we are. We haven't even spoken about why are we away, why are we not at home. It's irrelevant. I think we're away for 5 out of our 7 games. We're just going to get on with it and do. Looking forward to the challenge it brings, and look, at the end of the day, the result is what we want, and the performance. We're looking, trying to build our process as we go through the league and trying to develop, as I said, 14 new players coming into the squad as well. And I think we're set up really in a good place for that. But now it's about, let's make the good work we've done and go to the bank on Sunday and get it out.
Great stuff. Well, Pat Sullivan and Kate McGrath, thanks a million for dropping into our Dungarvan studios this evening, and all the best for the season ahead.
Super. Thanks, yeah. Moss.
The Ballymac fans have something to shout about now. And again, they're attacking the Canellan goal. It's Claire Welch, who's been a constant thorn in the Kilkerran side. Chancellor Kelly and Hogan blasts it, and blasts it over the bar. The Ballymac roar can be heard now in Croke Park. Kelly and Hogan sends it over the bar, Michael.
Lorne Na Páirce with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.